Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to be live on Facebook for the first time in 100 years. And I just pray that the Lord will bless us this morning. And of course, I'm thankful to Pastor and Brother Scott for inviting me one more time that I may come and bring the same old story. It's the same old story. It never gets tired of getting cooked because it's already a finished story. We are not bringing any ingredients to it. We are just coming to eat what God has already prepared. So be praying for me. Be praying for yourselves. Be praying for anybody who's going to listen to this message, that the Lord may perchance speak to them and show them His way of salvation. So, Brother Scott, thank you one more time for allowing me to stand behind here. You guys don't know how much confidence one has to have to allow someone to come back here. I would argue and say this is the most dangerous place that one could be, because you're not talking about yourself, you're talking about the King of Kings. So may He speak to us by His word and by His spirit. The Lord gave me a scripture from Genesis 27 to come and share understanding. And the way that I do things is that we're going to read the text and then we're going to work through the story, because the gospel is hidden in the story, in the statements. So we'll flip the statements upside down until you see Christ in them, until you see that this is the same gospel that God declared everywhere else in the Bible, but it was hidden in a story, just a story that a lot of people actually may not have ever had it preached this way. Okay? So we're going to be in Genesis 27, and we are going to read from verses 1 to 27. Actually, I didn't do that by purpose. I'm just discovering that actually I'm going as far as Genesis 27. So praise the Lord for that. The text says, and this is going to be from the New King James. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, his son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore," verse 8, "my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will fail me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Verse 15. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, verse 24, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me and I'll eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." And that's the word of the Lord. And for our title, we always give titles. Our title is verse 22. That's a very long title. It's verse 22. But the shortened version of that is the hands of Esau. The hands of Esau, God's way of salvation. The hands of Esau, God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation is not a new teaching. It's not a new teaching that came with the New Testament. It's not a new teaching that came with the Old Testament either. The scriptures only testify of God's eternal counsel, God's eternal purpose in Christ from before the foundation of the world, as to how sinners are to be made righteous before him. Because everything said, the issue of the gospel is twofold. It's justification of the elect and the glorification of Christ. The justification of the elect and the glorification of Christ. The glorification of Christ is tied to the justification of the elect. So it can't fail. If the justification of any of Christ's elect fails, then Christ to that extent cannot be glorified. So we need to be very clear on how God declares a sinner to be holy, to be blameless, and to be above reproach, that is, to be justified. Remember, it is God who justifies, as we read from Romans 8. It is God who justifies a sinner. It is not the Pope. It is not me. It is not anybody. It is God, through Christ Jesus, who declares a sinner as righteous. As soon as you step into this life, as soon as you are born, as soon as you become a human being, immediately you only have one issue. You only have one problem. It is justification. As soon as you become aware of your existence, you have one issue. It is justification. Everything else is not an issue. The debt problem is not a problem. The politics is not the problem. The issue is justification. That's the issue that you have to answer and answer the way that God has answered it. And the one who can answer this problem, who can answer this question for themselves, in the way that God has answered it, in the way that God has proposed to do it, to God's satisfaction, is the only man or woman who is blessed. So we have to answer that question for ourselves. Even today, we have to answer that question for ourselves to see if we are in alignment with what God has declared, because God has been saying this from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is nothing new. The problem is that men don't accept it. Even though they call themselves Christians, still they are resisting the message of Christ's accomplished work. So it doesn't matter what men think about what God has said. Our opinion does not matter. It's only God's opinion that matters. And if God is happy with his formula of justifying the believer in Christ, in Christ alone, he doesn't care what we think. It doesn't matter how many people are against him. Okay? So we have to bend our understanding of salvation to what God has revealed to us in the scriptures and by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So as I said, the gospel is not a new story. God determined it from eternity. We do a lot of background working because now we have a lot of people who are listening to our messages. This message is going to be in at least 3/4 of the countries in the world by the end of next month sometime, if not by the end of this month. So it is very clear for us when we have opportunity to take the time to develop the understanding and build the background so that we make the argument for the sole sufficiency of Christ and Christ alone. Because that's what is lacking in the majority of the teaching. So as I said, the message of the cross, the message of justification by the merits of Christ alone is not a new message. It is a message that God even was preaching in the Old Testament, by way of types and shadows. Because you are reading Genesis 27 and you're thinking, okay, so how is this going to turn out? We're going to produce the whole New Testament from that story. Is there? So I'm going to define some things just so that we are on the same page with the understanding. A type is a picture. It is an event. It is a person. It is a feast. It is an institution that you find in the Old Testament that was showing or was telling something about the person of Christ in a shadow. Christ was there, but he was hidden. So with that understanding, a type is not one-to-one with its fulfillment, who is Christ, because the type is always going to be inferior to Christ. You're going to find David as a type of Christ, but David was a sinner. So when we say David is a type of Christ, we are not saying David was a righteous man by himself. No. David was just a sinner like you and I. Okay. But we need the knowledge of Christ to go back into this story so that we may redeem the story and find out what Christ was saying, even as he said to the Jews, in John 5:39, that you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life, but it is they that testify of him. And so with that short explanation and introduction, we are going to explore the story of Jacob, Isaac, Rebekah, and Esau, and extract the gospel testimony to show you God's way of salvation. It is a familiar story, and the conclusion is going to be the same thing that you already know, so we might as well end it right here and go home, right? We know the story of Esau. We know Paul's teaching of Esau and Jacob in Romans 9 when he discusses God's sovereignty and justice in election. We know that. It's a very familiar story and we hold to that theology. We teach that salvation, election is all of grace and grace alone to the glory of God. And that God is sovereign in all aspects of salvation from the beginning right to the end. So you already know that, but we're going to take a different understanding of the story and you're going to see Christ in the story the way that you have not seen him before. Okay? So with that understanding, let's go work verse by verse so that we'll build our understanding of what I have been given to share. Genesis 27 verses 1 to 4. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau. So verse 1 again. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." So Isaac was old, and we were told that his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Isaac was legally blind. And that is a very important statement to interrogate when you are reading the Bible, because God intends to communicate something important to the transaction of salvation. God did not tell you that Isaac had an F-150, because if he wanted you to know about that, he would have told us that. So the very fact that the Holy Spirit saw it important that we should know that Isaac was losing his vision is important to the gospel testimony. Okay? So that is a very important nugget. Gospel nugget, not a chicken McNugget. Okay? So Isaac is getting old and is getting ready to die. So he asks his son Esau and says, "Go hunt game for me and get me the food that I love to eat." Isaac has something for game. It makes some really good food for him, such as he loves. And then only is he able to bless his son. See what is happening, the conditions that are being set already in the beginning. I have to have this food before I can bless you. Verse 5 of Genesis 27. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. Rebekah was listening into the conversation. I am thinking she was eavesdropping. And she had her own ideas about the matter, verses 6 to 10. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death." This is the character of Rebekah, Sister Rebekah, not Rebekah Price. Sister Rebecca is a conniving mother. She was listening in on the conversation and she thought to hijack Isaac's plan because she knew that God had told her before the boys were born about what was going on between the two boys. She knew that. And so she came and told Jacob to go get two choice kids of God's young ones, maybe a year or so old, still had some fresh and tender meat that she may cook and make some really tasteful food for Isaac. She is mom. Rebecca is mom, and she knows exactly what recipe to make that Isaac enjoys. We're going somewhere. Pay attention. Rebecca's intention with her plot was so that Isaac would bless Jacob instead of Esau. That's why she's working. But Jacob had an objection. Jacob had an objection to the plan, verse 11 and 12. And Jacob said to Rebecca, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Jacob considered her mother's proposal, and he saw some serious problems with it. A very dangerous proposal, it sounded to him like, that would cause him to be cursed and not be blessed. And the major problem that he saw was that him and his brother Esau were different. Jacob and Esau were different. Esau was a hairy man, and Jacob, on the other hand, was a smooth-skinned man. And Jacob thought this would be such an easy matter for Isaac to determine, to see, even though his sight was bad. Verse 13, but his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, only obey my voice and go get them for me." Mom, so ever confident, says, "No worries, son. I'll take the curse for you. If that were to happen, just listen to my voice and do what I have told you." Verse 14. And he went, that is Jacob, and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Jacob then obeyed. And Rebekah made some food such as his father loved. Mom knows exactly what Isaac loved. And so she continued on with her plan, and she had no misgivings. She had no apprehensions. No eye or leg was twitching to say this may not come out right. Verses 15 to 17. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the gods on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So Rebekah prepared Jacob to meet with his father, gave him some clean and choice clothes to wear and the food to go give to his father that he may get the blessing. Verse 18. So he, that is Jacob, went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Isaac's eyes are bad. So to say, "Who are you, my son?" is to say he had to rely on the sense of touch and hearing. And that is why he said, "Who are you, my son?" Verse 19. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Jacob, the heel catcher, began to play his heel catching business. Jacob is already lying. Jacob is the supplanter, the deceiver. And he says, well, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have taught me to do. I got the game and made your favorite dish. Now sit and eat so that you may bless me. Verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, that is Jacob, because the Lord your God brought it to me. Isaac is thinking. Typically, this is a whole day worth of work. How did Esau come back so quickly and had it ready in such a short space of time? Pay attention to that. But Jacob had a ready answer. The heel catcher, as he was always, you know, people who lie, they always have answers. Real quick. Jacob says, no pressure. No pressure, Father. The Lord your God brought it to me, so the hunting was so easy for me today. It was so easy. Verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. Isaac was skeptical. And so he wanted Jacob to draw near, to draw close, so that he could feel him. Remember again, Isaac was blind, and so he had to use his sense of touch to judge things. Verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Isaac was like, there's something unusual here. I hear the voice of Jacob, but the hands are surely the hands of Esau. And so what happened? Verse 23. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Isaac did not recognize Jacob. Why? Because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. And what happened as a result? Isaac blessed Jacob. And we'll read verse 26 and 27. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. What is happening? That's the introduction of the story. But I did not drive this way to just tell you that. We want, by this story, to establish God's way of salvation, because that is why God gave it. God would have you and I to know the truth of how He transacts the matter of salvation. Remember, God is teaching this story, He's teaching this doctrine of salvation in a story with characters in there. God surely was not interested in telling us that Esau was late to bring the game, and so he missed the opportunity to be blessed. So for you, don't be late for work, or else you miss your promotion or your appointment. God did not mean to tell us that do not trust your mother or your wife because they are conniving, or ask to be blessed only when your father's vision is failing. I'm telling you, some charlatans will come up with that. No, this is the testimony of Christ Jesus. Let us identify some characters and define them in the gospel context. Who is Isaac? Isaac is a type of God the Father in this context. Isaac in Genesis 22 was a type of Christ because the father Abraham was going to offer his son, the one and only son that he loved, Isaac. But Abraham is out of the picture, is dead. So Isaac in this picture gets a new function. He begins to act the role of God the Father, as Abraham was a type of God the Father offering his son. Hear this in verse 1. Now, it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, okay, I'm not going to continue with that. The most important thing here is that Isaac was old. And that is a picture of God who is the Ancient of Days. God is He alone who is old, the Ancient of Days. It is He who has a son. It is He who has the older son whom He wants to bless, to give the birthright blessing, because when it comes to Christ, when you read in the New Testament testimony of salvation, you're going to hear Christ being called the heir of all things. He is the one that God has appointed to give all things. So this is the son whom He loves. Genesis 25, 27, and 28. This is what Moses said of Esau and Jacob. Hear this. Genesis 25, verses 27 and 28. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was mommy's boy. Jacob was always around the house with mommy. Esau was the manly man. I would say, if Esau existed or was alive in our time, he would be the typical American guy with a big truck. F-350, something like that. That's Esau. Okay, he's a hard-working man. True American, right? But hear this. In John 3:35, John says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. God the Father loves Christ and He has given all things to Christ's hands. So the father Isaac loved Esau and was going to give all things into his hand. He wanted to bless him. But there was a problem. There was a younger brother, Jacob. Jacob was also there. Esau had a younger brother, Jacob, a troublemaker, a cheater, a deceiver, and that means a sinner. See, again, the character of Esau. Esau was a good man. Esau was a good man. Esau was the older brother. Esau was loved of the father, which means in this picture, Esau was a type of Christ, the good man, our older brother, who is loved of God the Father, whom God intended to bless. And remember, God earlier said to Rebekah, when the kids were still in the mother's belly, remember what God said. God said to Rebekah that the older shall serve the younger. The older shall serve the younger. But Jacob was a troublemaker. So what shall happen to the younger brother Jacob? What hope does he have to enter into the father's blessing? If you are Jacob, how are you going to get the blessing? Who is this Jacob? Jacob is the heel catcher. He is the sinner. And that means Jacob is you and I. We are Jacob. We are the sinners. But remember what the father wants. The father wants to eat the game. That means he has to eat that which has passed through death first before he can bless. The father can only bless after he has eaten that which has seen death. That means there has to be a sacrifice of blood before the blessing comes. Christ will have to die on the cross to be blessed and to bless. But hear this. The fear and dilemma of Jacob. The fear and dilemma of the sinner as they approach God. Your fear is captured in Jacob and is answered in the text. God has addressed your fear of salvation and he has answered it for you, because we are going to have an issue of assurance of salvation, which is one of the doctrines that a lot of preachers and people are very weak at, because they look at the wrong things for assurance. They do not look to the things that God has given us for assurance. Rather, they begin to look to themselves and say, look at me, I'm so working it. Hear this. Hear what Rebecca said in verse 9, going back to Genesis 27. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the gods, and I'll make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will fill me. Perhaps God will fill me. Perhaps my father will discover my sin. I know who I am. I am a deceiver. He acknowledged that. And God has a solution for every deceiver. God has a solution for deceivers. If you are one, we have good news for you. And I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. Jacob is afraid to approach the father. He's afraid that he may be discovered that he actually was supplanted. That is the fear of the sinner, to say, how shall I get the blessing without risking condemnation? How shall I approach God on judgment day and get the blessing without being condemned? That has to be the issue of the gospel, and we have to answer that if we are telling the truth on Christ. How shall I be justified? That's what Jacob is saying. How shall I be justified seeing that I'm a deceiver? My father knows my voice. He knows who I am. He can tell me apart from Christ. God can tell the difference between you and Christ. He knows. And he knows that I'm a sinner and will condemn me. But Rebecca knows how to please the father. Rebecca knows how to approach the father. Rebecca knows how to make the dish exactly as the father wants it and loves it. She knows what the father requires for a sinner to be blessed. Rebecca, the person of Rebecca, knows how you, the deceiver, can approach the father and get the blessing. Who is Rebecca? Rebecca is more than the mom. She is a type of the Holy Spirit. Rebecca is a type of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit alone brings the testimony of how a sinner is justified before God and nobody else. And until and unless the Holy Spirit brings that conviction, that understanding, people will continue to believe in what they do for salvation, thinking that they are going to commend themselves into God's blessing. Here, Romans 8. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Actually, it's amazing that we, in our Bible reading, we started from 28. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. The Spirit helps in our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 12, so that we can tie this together. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 12. Paul writes and says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Do you understand what is being said there? The way of revelation of the truth of Christ comes only through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The way of salvation, the way of righteousness is revealed to us, revealed to the sinner through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows all things. He searches all things. Rebecca knew exactly how to prepare Jacob that he may meet with his father and get the blessing. The work of preparation of Rebecca is the work of preparation of the Holy Spirit. She interceded for the saint. Remember, Jacob is a saint. Don't be messed up by his wickedness. Jacob was a saint, chosen of God according to God's will and electing grace. Verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man? For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the things of Isaac except Mom Rebecca. Rebecca is she who knows the things of Isaac. No one knows the way to bring a deceiver to Isaac so that he may get the blessing more than Rebecca does. So Rebecca is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Paul ends in verse 12 and says, for our interest, now we have received not the spirit of the world, because there is a spirit of the world that does not testify the truth on Christ, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You see, the things that the Spirit testifies of, the Holy Spirit only testifies of the free things. If they are not free, it is not the testimony of the Holy Spirit. If there are conditions being added to your gospel, you are believing a false gospel. The Holy Spirit has nothing to do with that. He only testifies of the free things that have been given to us by God through Christ Jesus. Rebecca is a type of the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weaknesses, making intercession for us before the Father, and reveals to us the truth of salvation, God's way of salvation, teaching and illuminating to us that we may know the things that God has given us by His grace. So without Rebecca's preparation, without Rebecca's intercession, you see, as Rebecca is doing this with Jacob, that is the work of preparation and intercession. Because if Rebecca does not do that for Jacob, Jacob has no idea on how to approach his father. He is clueless. So Jacob is going to get a curse if Rebecca is not involved in this transaction. So you see the importance of the Holy Spirit in bringing the testimony of Christ to his people. So without the Holy Spirit, a sinner will not believe the truth about Christ. And the truth of God's way of salvation would never sound like it is a trustworthy statement. Because Paul would say this is a faithful saying, this is a trustworthy saying. And the reason that people deny, the gospel of grace and they come and call us names is because they feel they have to do something. They feel they are doing something. They are putting their hope on something that they are doing, even though they may be doing it in the name of Christ. And they do that because the Holy Spirit has not opened their eyes to the truth of how to approach Isaac, the truth of how to approach God. The simplicity of grace scares people to death because it means they only have to hold to the cross. It is only the testimony of the Holy Spirit that gives the true believer, the one who is born again, a full grasp of Christ. Here Jacob's response to his mother in verse 11 and 12 of Genesis 27. Our time is good. Our time is good. We have 2 more hours. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Jacob, the sinner, comes and says, "No, mother, that does not work. There's no way that I am going to get the blessing of salvation with your plan." Why, Jacob? Why do you think that? "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I, on the other hand, am a smooth-skinned man. Jacob, what are you saying? What does that mean? In what way does that affect what Jacob is about to be given?" This is what Jacob is saying. He is saying, "I am an unrighteous man. I have no covering on my skin, mother." You have to hear that. You didn't hear that. "I have no covering on my skin, mother. I am a smooth-skinned man. I have nothing on me. I am bare before God. I am not like my brother who is hairy. A man who is hairy and he has a covering that is different from mine. Esau has a covering on him that is different from mine. But look at me. Look at me. And father who easily tell us apart. God can tell apart the righteous from the unrighteous. And if I try to approach him as a silky, smooth-skinned man, I am so in trouble. Condemnation for me. No hope for me. Look at my skin." You have a skin problem, my brothers and sisters. You're too smooth. You're too smooth. A sinner is he or she who is smooth-skinned. One who has no covering of righteousness. That's the issue here, my friends. And if God would fill them, you see what Jacob is saying. If my father will fill me, I'm in trouble. if my father would lay his hands on me, he's going to fail me and I'm in trouble. So if God would fail you for your own sake, guess what? He will only fail some smooth skin, and that is nakedness. A sinner is one who is awakened to the truth that they are a deceiver, to the truth that by themselves they are only smooth skinned. Jacob acknowledged that he was a sinner. And God has, as I said earlier, a solution for deceivers, but never for the self-righteous. Because the self-righteous are coming and saying they have their own covering. That's all you're saying. Hear this from Jacob again, verse 12. Jacob says, perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. A smooth-skinned person trying to approach God on their own merit is only going to get a curse. If guaranteed, no questions asked, it doesn't matter how good they may think or they may feel. So what is the solution? What is the solution to this problem? Verse 15. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Rebekah knows how things are done. If Jacob had called himself a righteous man and went for the blessing without Rebekah's knowledge, he was getting nothing. Rebekah went, see what she did. Rebekah went and took the choice clothes, not just some clothes, but the choice clothes, not of Jacob. She went and took the choice clothes, the best clothes, not of Jacob, but of the elder son of the older brother. I mean, why do that? Isaac, after all, is already blind. Why get Jacob to wear the clothes of another that he may get the blessing? Why get Jacob to wear his brother's clothes and see the ordering of things? It is not Jacob who is blessing Esau, is the other way around. Why? Because that is God's way of salvation. That is God's only acceptable way of making smooth-skinned sinners like you and I righteous before him. Jacob has to be clothed in the clothes of another, another who is the older brother, another who is loved of the father. Jacob was clothed in the choice garments, the best garments of Esau. You can't tell me this is by accident. You can't tell me that Rebekah thought about this. This is not a doing. This is God's doing. And what is God teaching by that? If you're wearing the clothes of another to be blessed, it means you have the imputed righteousness of another. That is the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, our older brother, Christ Jesus, who saves the younger brother. Remember, you and I are the younger brothers of Christ. Christ is our older brother. So what God has done is that he has given us the best clothes of our older brother, the righteousness of Christ, to cover our nakedness. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they'd also tried to cover themselves with fig leaves because they realized that their skin had gotten smooth. So they felt the shame of their sin. They tried to cover their own nakedness by the works of their own hands. They went and sewed together. They opened a garment factory of works righteousness, which unfortunately is still in business. The Free Will Baptist Garment Factory Church. is still in business even this morning, and you can hear the machines. They're sowing false gospels and righteousness. So Jacob was feeling the shame of his sin, and the mother continued and did this. Verse 16 of Genesis 27. And she put the skins of the kids of the gods on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Rebekah went ahead and covered whatever other parts of Jacob's body could be exposed. You see, Rebekah is concerned to make sure that there's no spot that will give away that this is Jacob. So she covered him, it seems to me, from the text, with the skins of the gods that he had just slaughtered. That is a covering with the righteousness of Christ, who was slaughtered, died on the cross. Jacob was smelling of the blood of the sacrifice. And that is to say, the righteousness that God imputes to a sinner is the complete righteousness of the Christ who died. God does not impute the righteousness that comes from the Holy Spirit, my friends. God imputes the righteousness of the one who died, Christ Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to give us understanding of that transaction. The Holy Spirit working in us is not making us or giving us some other ground of righteousness other than what Christ has already done. And the gospel that the Holy Spirit brings does not leave any spots of your sin uncovered. If you have a gospel that you believe that you begin by grace and then you finish it by your own doing, what are you saying? You're saying that when Christ died, when you were covered with the righteousness of Christ, there were still some spots of your sin that remained uncovered. That's exactly what you're saying, and that is a false gospel. It is. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make you whole again. Nothing but the clothes of our older brother who cover any spots, any blemishes, any wrinkles. You see, Rebekah is covering every spot. The Holy Spirit, if He teaches you the truth of Christ, He is going to tell you that the coverage of Christ is sufficient and it's complete. Very simple. But guess what? That's the message that the majority of the professing church world is fighting against. The sufficiency of Christ. They don't want to hear that. They want to go to the mall and buy their own covering. No, you can't do that. But let us hear how the matter turned out. Let us hear how the matter turned out. Verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Yes, Jacob, Mr. Smooth Skin Deceiver, how did you get this game so quickly? And that is the question that people are asking when they argue with us, when we tell them that Christ is sufficient for us, when we tell them that we are ready for glory, there's nothing else that we need to add to what Christ has done. And we tell them that we are holy, we are already holy, we are righteous, we are so accepted in Christ, and we have nothing else to do to finish the work of salvation that Christ did. And they come and say, "No, not yet, no, not yet. You are not yet progressively sanctified to our satisfaction. We have to see you do some things that prove to us that you are saved. You need to be progressively sanctified for you to get the blessing. So you see, when they say that they are changing the grounds of the imputation of righteousness from the cross to the performance of the sinner. But here Jacob's answer. I was blown away by this. Jacob says, because the Lord your God brought it to me. What is the answer to why we say we are saved already? And why we have been saved so quickly? And that means this is what the answer is saying. Why we have been saved without our effort. Because the Lord our God has brought it to me. That was Jacob's answer. And that has to be our answer. What is it that the Lord God brought to you, Jacob? See that, what Jacob said, he said, the Lord brought it to me. What is that, Jacob? The ram that was caught in the thicket of the bush. Abraham was not looking for the ram, my friends. Who brought the ram? God brought the ram. The wood, the fire. But where is the sacrifice, Father? God shall provide himself for himself, the lamb. The gospels that we are hearing, even this morning, in a lot of places, they have the wood and the fire, but they don't have the sacrifice. You have to hear that again. There's so much pomp and fanfare. They have the wood and they're burning the fire, but the sacrifice is not there. Christ is not there. God shall provide himself and for himself. Christ Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. That's the sacrifice. It's God who has brought it. So God will provide for us the righteousness, and he has brought the righteousness. Christ has provided the sanctification. He has provided the redemption. My friends, if God requires wisdom for salvation, it has to come from Christ. If God requires righteousness, it has to come from Christ. If God requires holiness, sanctification, it has to come from Christ. Otherwise, there's no hope for you. And that is why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, But of him, you are in Christ Jesus. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us the wisdom from God. Christ is the wisdom. You don't know how to talk to God. He'll kill you before you open your mouth. Christ, the mediator, the surety representative, he is the one who talks. He knows the way of salvation. God requires the righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. God requires the sanctification, which is holiness. Christ is our holiness. God requires the ransom price. Christ is the redemption. Why? So that no man will boast before him. And that part is the part that a lot of people forget. That no one should boast before him. Why? Because our sufficiency comes from Christ and Christ alone. So let he or she who boasts only boasts in the Lord. The judgment of Jacob. As we almost finish. The judgment of Jacob, verse 21. That's the judgment of the sinner. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near me that I may feel you. Feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. Isaac said to Jacob, come near me so that I can feel you, whether you are really my son Esau or not. Do you see who Isaac is looking for? Isaac is only interested in the one person, in his son, He's looking for Esau to bless Esau because God is only looking for one person. God is only looking for Christ and Christ alone. God is only looking for the righteousness of Christ and Christ alone. And he has to feel his son. He knows his son that he can just tell by feeling. On Judgment Day, God is only about feeling you. On Judgment Day, God is only about feeling you to find if he can feel Christ in you, if he can feel the clothes of Christ in you, the righteousness of Christ on you, and nothing else. We have to understand that. That's all God is looking for. This other teaching of you're going to be justified by the cross plus the works, that's not the testimony that we hear from the text. That's not the testimony. Verse 22 and 23. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. But the hands are the hands of Esau, and he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Jacob is near to his father, and he is almost passing out in fear, I can tell you that. In fear that he will be discovered, that it was not he who was supposed to get the blessing. But he goes anyway on account of what Mom said. We go anyway before the throne of God on account of the testimony of the Holy Spirit. He goes trusting everything that the Mom said to him. And after filling him, this is what Isaac said. The voice is Jacob's voice. I'm hearing the deceiver in you. This is very important. I need you to understand this. Isaac says, I am hearing the deceiver in you, but the hands are the hands of someone else. But the hands are the hands of Esau. The voice is that of Jacob, but the hands are that of Esau. What is happening? That is the scandal of the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Jacob the sinner can still be heard in him. His voice can still be heard. And that means Jacob was still a sinner. And it was different. His voice was different from that of Esau. But the hands that covered him, the hands were covered with the skin of the gods. The sacrifice. The hands from the sacrifice. Because remember, the God's skin was coming from that which had passed through death. The hands, Isaac feels the hands and he says, but the hands are the hands of my son. The nail-scarred hands of Christ, that's what God is only looking for, my friends. God is only looking to feel the hands and see if he can feel the nail-scarred hands of the righteousness of Christ. So Isaac was duped. Isaac was duped and he gave the blessing. Isaac had to go. Isaac had to go with the testimony of the clothes and the hands of Esau to declare Jacob as the heir, not by his voice. I have to expand that. Isaac went by the clothes of the brother and the hairy skin from the gods. He heard the voice. He heard the voice was the voice of Rob that he could tell. This is Rob. But because of what I'm feeling, I have no option but to bless. Because of the way that he is feeling. I am feeling him. I am touching his hands. I have no option but to bless. And my friends, that's the only way that God is going to forgive your sin. And that's the only way that God has forgiven your sin. And that was the reason why the Holy Spirit told us that Isaac was blind. That was the purpose. That was the purpose. Because God meant to communicate to you and I the truth of the free imputation of the righteousness of Christ to a sinner, that it is real. Because we have some preachers out there who say we don't want to deal with that pest on righteousness. They demean the righteousness of Christ. God would want you to know that the imputed righteousness of Christ is as real as it will ever get. The vision of Isaac was failing to give us a picture of how God looks at you in Christ. Do you understand that? This is how God looks at the sinner in Christ. God only sees Christ in them. He sees and feels only Christ in them and smells the righteousness of Christ, even though they are still a sinner. So that was the importance of the blindness of Isaac. God has been made blind to your sin because of Christ and his righteousness. And guess what? The writer of Hebrews says, he has forgotten our sins. And their sins I will remember anymore. I will not remember anymore. So if God is not remembering your sin, it also means he has been blinded to your sin. That's the purpose of the blindness. So God, of all beings that exist, God has suffered memory loss to your sin. God has suffered vision failure because of Christ. Oh, Christ is so wonderful. Let's understand this as we close this. As long as you are in this world, in this life, you yourself are going to continue to hear your own voice. The voice of you as a sinner. The deceiver in you. The sinner in you. And that's true. Because we have people who say, well, when you come to Christ, then you're going to stop sinning. But the text says, God still was feeling and hearing the voice of the deceiver in Jacob. God knows that you're a sinner, but he has blessed you anyway. God is not blind as Isaac was blind. He knows, he sees all things. Everything is bare before him. But the picture here is that don't look away from Christ just because you are not feeling the righteousness. It's not you who feels the righteousness, it's Isaac. It's God who knows it is he who feels the righteousness of Christ that he has given you. So sin shall continue to be a reality. And those who oppose us will say, oh, you are telling people to go and sin the more, but that's not what we are telling anybody. We're just telling the truth. We're telling people that they should not look to their not sinning as hope and confidence before God. They need to look back to Christ and what he accomplished for us. Okay. The dish that Isaac ate was the sacrifice of Christ. That was only a picture of God saying he alone loves the dish of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Christ's obedience is the only thing that God is interested in, and that has been given in a picture of eating, but God is not eating anything. God does not get hungry. He's not like us. So as Rebekah completely covered Jacob with Esau's choice clothes, so are we completely covered and are safe in the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, no condemnation for those who are wearing the choice clothes of Esau. Jacob was only safe in his elder brother's clothes, and so we are only safe in the righteousness of Christ, in him who pleases the Father. Verse 26 and 27 of Genesis 27. Then his father Isaac said to him, Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Isaac smelled the smell of his clothing, not of Jacob, but the clothing of Esau. Isaac knew the smell of his son and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. God loves the smell of Christ. God loves the blood of Christ, and that was what was on Jacob in a picture. And by faith, God can smell the blood of Christ on us even though we don't smell it. He can smell the sacrifice of Christ on us and for us. And so in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 16, Paul writes and says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? So Isaac smelled the fragrance of Christ in the clothes that Jacob had, and the aroma of life leading to life. So he had no option but to bless. We haven't talked about Esau. I'm not going to expand much on Esau. That will need more time than I want to talk. But I want to give you some understanding of Esau in this particular context. Esau came back from the field seeking to be blessed, seeking for the father to reverse the blessing. But it had already happened. Even the writer of Hebrews speaks to that. And so what does that mean in terms of the gospel? It means if you go and read the rest of Genesis 27, that actually Isaac ended up condemning Esau, which means Esau was condemned in this picture as a type of the Lord Jesus, condemned on the cross that the blessing may be given to another, to you and I who are the younger brothers of Christ. And also, this is what I believe God was teaching. God was teaching that the blessing of Christ could not be revoked. And that is to say, salvation cannot be lost. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That is to say, they are without repentance. God does not give salvation and then changes his mind. So there's no one that Christ determined to save that is going to get lost to him just because they are doing some foolishness. If you belong to Christ and you're doing some foolishness, he'll come and get you. Okay? He'll beat you, he'll drag you in the mud, you'll kick and scream, but you're coming. Christ is not going to lose any of his sheep. Anybody who teaches that is telling a lie on Christ. Okay? So these are some of the things that I want you to take home with you. There shall not be a time that we shall not ever smell like Christ in the nostrils of God the Father. even in your sin as is, God smells only Christ. God already knows that there's still a Jacob in you. God knows that. A deceiver in you, still sinning, but also dressed in those garments of Christ, and God will not change his mind about your salvation as to require some other work from you, some other sacrifice other than what Christ has given. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, so that's the mystery. That is the mystery of the story of Jacob and Esau. That's the mystery. That's your story. You have to make that story your story. And Paul would come and speak it this way in the New Testament. I think I need maybe 2 more minutes. Paul would come and say this way, theologically, in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him, God made Christ. And people trip on that med, that word right there, med. It's not saying God changed Christ to be something that he was not. Not in the constitution of his person. Christ remained holy and righteous. Christ, him who knew no sin, was made sin for us by a legal charge. The imputation of our sin, the guilt of our sin. Our sin had already been committed, my friends. The sin had already been committed. The debt was already there. What was needed was the payment, the settling of the debt. So Christ Jesus comes and stands in our place as our surety and says, I am going to pay for that debt. And the payment that Christ made by his death is what is imputed, is what is given to us, is what has been given us as clothing for our righteousness. It was not saying that Christ became a sinner like you and I. That is just a faulty way of understanding what God is teaching. So God is not interested. God is not interested in your own clothes, which means God is not interested in your works of righteousness, so as to exchange life and righteousness by your doing. No, he's not. And there are a lot of verses in the New Testament that may sound like, oh, there's something that we actually do to be saved. But it's people who don't know how to read the gospel. A sinner cannot do anything to be saved because they're a sinner. That's why they're called a sinner. A sinner is one who can't do nothing for salvation. Jesus is called Savior because he did and he does everything for salvation. So the testimony that you have to always have, if anybody comes and they begin to cause issues and say, oh, you are not following the law of God, you antinomians, you hate the law of God. No, we don't hate the law of God at all. We love Christ, so we love the law of God. But the truth is, we can't do the law of God. We are still sinners. The law of God has been fulfilled on our behalf by our representative, Christ Jesus. This is the aspect of the gospel that people are downplaying. Christ has given everything that the law required of you. He did. That is why salvation is by grace alone. But should someone come and ask you and say, how is it that you have found your salvation so quickly and so easily? How is it, brother, you're so confident, you have such assurance of salvation. How is it that? Tell them. Because the Lord, my God, has brought it to me. Because the Lord has brought Christ and His righteousness to us, and that is God's way of salvation. No man ever went to Christ to bring the sacrifice of Christ to Him by choosing Jesus, by inviting Jesus. Oh, I am inviting Jesus. I am making Him Lord and Savior. No, the text says, God is He who brought Christ to us. God is He who brought life and righteousness to us. And that is the testimony of the Holy Spirit concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a trustworthy and faithful statement. Praise the Lord. We are done. Amen.